The Iron Game Chalk Talk Podcast is brought to you by the following sponsors: EliteForm.com, IgnitionAPG.com, PlayUSA at PlayUSA.com, and Sorinex Exercise Equipment at Sorinex.com. And now, the Iron Game Chalk Talk Podcast. Welcome to Iron Game Chalk Talk with your host, Ron McKeefer.
Every time our athletes walk into this weight room, they're going to be pushed to the max.
Let's go! Let's go! Everything you got!
On this podcast, hear Coach McKeefer's straight talk about training, featuring the top strength and conditioning professionals from around the world. And now, here's your host, Ron McKeefer.
Hey guys, welcome back to Iron Game Chalk Talk. I'm your host, Ron McKeefer, and this is episode number 174. Got a treat for you today, hanging out with a good friend of mine, Joey Batson, head strength coach at Clemson University. Part of my new job is I get to go around and hang out with buddies, and Joey's definitely one of those guys, and just a guy that does it the right way. Known him for a long time. He's always opened his doors to me, always been a resource through the years, and just one of the ultimate nice guys in our profession that performs at an extremely high level. Got a chance to work out with the team. Got a chance to sit down with him and shoot this Iron Game Chalk Talk and bring it to you guys. And there's just so much in it to even try to limit it to just a couple of bullet points. But you're going to get a ton out of this episode. Make sure you sit back and you enjoy this one. Before we do, though, we want to make sure we recognize our sponsor, Play. As you guys know, I've took a role with Play as a director of performance and education, and part of that is going to be putting on the Play Summits here in 2017. And so I want you to be make sure that you're paying attention to some announcements that are going to be coming down the pipe. We're getting very, very close to nailing down all of our locations and our dates for the Play Summits. We got some special things coming, some really cool educational initiatives coming throughout the year. And so I will make sure to let you know what those are as we release them. Make sure you're following me on social media, follow Play on social media, and we'll make sure that we'll be getting those things out to you. But the main thing is this, is make sure that you're marking your calendars and that you're accounting for attending one of these summits this year. It is going to be fantastic events around the globe. And I think you're going to get a kick out of coming, hanging out with some great coaches, getting a ton of education, getting great fellowship, and then being able to walk away and apply some of those things to your teams. So make sure you're paying attention to that. Sit back and enjoy this episode with Joey, and I'll see you on the other side. Hey guys, welcome back to Iron Game Chalk Talk. Super excited to have a friend of mine with us, Joey Batson, head strength coach at Clemson University. I'm on site. This is something that I haven't had a whole lot of chance to do, but with my new role, I get a chance to go and go to their house and talk shop, which is something that has always been special to me, being able to go into different programs, different weight rooms and learn. And sometimes I think those site visits are where you learn the most. But Coach, thanks for coming on the show.
Oh, I appreciate you coming by.
Joey, kind of go, you're 30 plus years in the business now. Talk a little bit about how you got into the profession and how did you get to such a great like
yeah, well, I started out, loved sport, played high school football and fell into weight training in the 70s and started in a little basement working out. Had opportunity to go to college and ended up playing my football career at Newberry College. And while at Newberry, had a couple of guys, a guy by the name of Dan Alston, tremendous power lifter, now at South Carolina. He kind of helped me with my career. There was a gym back in Greenville, and I was a Greenville Athletic Club guy by the name of Mike Apps. So they kind of got me really interested in powerlifting. Dan went to the University of South Carolina with Keith Kephart. And so I tried to get on down there as a grad assistant. He was helping me, and then a guy by the name of Mark Hood was at Clemson. He was a GA under Gary Wade.
Yeah.
And so Gary Wade offered me an opportunity to come to Clemson as a grad assistant back in the mid-80s. And that's where my career started, right here at Clemson. And after a few years, wasn't sure that that's what I wanted to do. Got out for just a little bit, came back to Clemson as a GA, and then got my first coaching job as the director of strength and conditioning at Bowling Green State University. I was there for 3 years. I left there, went down to South Carolina, University of South Carolina, assistant director. And from there, Furman University as the director, first director they ever had at Furman for 4 years. Now been at Clemson. This is my 20th year as the head strength and conditioning coach at Clemson. It's really grown a lot. And so it's been a tremendous run.
There's no doubt about it. 20 years in one place, you could write. Could write a book just on that,
right.
You know, along the way, you know, all those different stops. Willing, I mean, you're a pretty young head strength coach at the time. Probably made tons of mistakes. What's one of the biggest mistakes you've made as a coach, and kind of how you learned from it?
Yeah, I think when you're young, you know, Coach Wade did a tremendous job with me, and he took a lot of interest, and I just followed his lead. Obviously, him coming from Nebraska and working with Boyd Epley, and so, you know, he had a tremendous model to work from. So I took that model and began to implement it as soon as I got my first job. It's not the same things that we had done at Clemson. We'd had a lot of success in our sport programs and in football back in the late 80s. So I'd say some of my biggest mistakes maybe is just kind of getting away from some of my core values, you know, and you start to drift out a little bit and get away from what you really know and believe. You start, you know, trying to go with fads, and so that's probably along the way. That's been some mistakes. Some things are good, you know. You gotta try different things, but you gotta maintain the core of who you are, what you believe, and stick to your guns and improve upon that on the fringe, and not try to totally wholesale approach.
I talk about it with my guys all the time. There's certain things that you have to establish in your coaching career. You have to have non-negotiables.
Right.
You know, character, morality, ethics, value, you know, those things. And that's got to permeate through everything that you do. And I know you do such a great job of that. It's something that I've admired from afar, for sure. What about, you know, you mentioned earlier that you've been at Clemson University for 20 years. You've been in this business for 30-plus years. What's the secret? What's the secret? How do you stay in the business of strength and conditioning for so long? How do you put yourself in a position where you can be at a place for that long in the current climate?
Yeah. You know, for me, it all kind of starts, number one, by faith. And I think I've just maintained a strong faith in Jesus Christ. And that's been the core of who I am. And that's just kind of been my rock, you know, just being able to have that as my foundation, and that is the foundation has been able to for me to have a wife and a family. And God has put me in positions to be around great men and good head coaches, and I've learned from every head coach that I've had the opportunity to work for, and just believe that it was no job too small. You know, I just did what it took, you know, whatever the coach wanted, you know, his program or whatever, the sport coach, you know, I was able to really work with people and kind of find middle ground when we didn't really disagree on some things. Just learning to just be humble. You just kind of go to work every day. You got to be super consistent. I think you got to have a great passion for what you do. You got to bring energy every day. So I think that's where I've been, had my success, is I never really trying to look too far ahead. I was always kind of working on my next job along the way, but it wasn't a priority. My priority was where I was at, the men or the man that I was working for at the time, or the ladies, the women coaches that I had opportunity to work with their sports, and just kept putting together one good day after another, continuing to learn, continuing to grow, and establishing a reputation as a, say, I'm just a hard-working guy with some character. He brought it every day. He loved his players, athletes, cared for them. And, just kind of like a stealth bomber, man. You do your work and fly on the radar. I was never really into a lot of self-promotion and all that kind of stuff. Just did my job every day.
You know, there's tons of great info in that. You know, the stealth bomber, using that. I like that analogy. You know, one of the most fundamental things about strength and conditioning is the rep, you know, and, you know, if you can't coach a single rep correctly, then it's going to be a bad workout. It's going to be a bad exercise. It's going to be a bad lift. It's going to be a bad workout. It's going to be a bad, series on a football field, whatever it may be. The same thing here. You, as a strength coach, you got to put together a series of several hours that you're, where you're trying to challenge yourself to be the best strength coach you can be. And there's no doubt about it. You've done that. What I mean, there's a lot of strength coaches out there, coach, that are working hard, that are sacrificing the time, that have the faith that they're going to go on in this business, but they're still struggling.
Right.
What would you tell those struggling strength coaches right now on, how they can continue to progress in this field?
What I'm so appreciative of in my journey is I started out, as a GA, bottom GA. I was able to work to the top GA position at the time. In Clemson, it was a GA where you got your school paid for and you got a little bit of stopping on top of that, so that was where you wanted to be. And then being a head strength coach at Bowling Green State University, and I think I took the job for $20,000 a year, no assistant coaches, and I think I had a gentleman who was a tennis coach that helped me out a little bit just to manage the room, and 18 varsity sports, and just had a great passion. You can imagine, you get up early, you plan to prepare, you can train 7 or 8, 9 sports that day. You got to, you get home 10, 11 o'clock at night, and you're just doing that over and over. And then had the opportunity to go be the assistant director in South Carolina, and wasn't making very much money there. Went to Furman University, and was probably making in possibly the 30 range. And now all of a sudden, you're 10 years into your career, you never made a lot of money doing this thing. So, and you just got to keep. You just got to keep working. You got to keep pushing. It really comes down to, you got to get up, put your pants on every morning. You got to go to work. Do you love what you do? The day that you quit loving it, you can't look at it. Obviously, you're going to have to make it. You got to make decisions, especially with your family and wife. Those decisions have to be made. What's the best for the family unit? And I've just always kind of stood the course and did the extra work. Camps, speak, anything I could do to make extra money, support my family. And then at Furman, when we had our first child, Michael, my wife, we made that decision that she was going to stay at home with the children. And that was tough because we made minimal money. And it was just, we counted pennies. We just stuck with it, kept believing that this is where God had us. Eventually, one day, he's going to meet our needs, and he's provided every step of the way when we needed it. It was there. And along the way, good coaches were just put in my path. Tommy West bringing me to Clemson. Tommy Bowden was a great man. 10 years with now Coach Sweeney, our 8th year together. So God has put me under tremendous men. Not just good coaches, good men. So I've been blessed in that. Bobby Johnson, Furman, Coach Satterfield, Coach Blackney back up at Bowling Green. So it's been a tremendous journey.
Well, I think, obviously part of that is, as strength coaches, we gotta continue to lift the people around us up. I mean, rising tide raises all ships.
Yeah.
So you've obviously done that throughout your career with really supporting. So it's so easy to go in an office and talk about the two or three bad things that maybe you don't like about the program. Never once have I heard that from you. I've always heard how positive everybody is around you. And that's an important lesson, I think, as strength coaches. We got to continue to raise everybody up, not just that the head coach or just our boss, but the assistant coaches. The equipment staff, the athletic training staff, because at the end of the day, everybody's in it for the common goal, the common mission. If they don't accomplish that, that's what it is. And you've continued to make the big time where you're at. It wasn't always where you were in the national championship game, Clinton University or Furman University, looking at that money or whatever. It's been something that you've done just naturally that I think a lot of people do. And ultimately, you got to have both feet in. You just got to have faith before there's before there's reward. And that's just, if you don't have both feet in, more than likely you're not going to be like the last in this profession very long. I want to talk a little training, coach. I know you got to get going with camp. What's maybe the most unique thing that you guys do from a strength conditioning perspective in the weight room here?
Yeah. You know, I got, when I was back at Furman, I got hooked on Louie, and I was into powerlifting, so Powerlifting USA. And that's where I started kind of understanding a little bit about West Side and their training principles. And so we started implementing some of that at Furman. And I thought that was really some cool stuff. And I had a few NFL guys that kind of were starting to do it. So we were kind of starting that that thing together. And, you know, I think for us is, you know, we just, one, is just bringing a great attitude every day and learning how to work. Just having a tremendous work ethic, understanding that we just have to earn it every single day. We're going to build this thing one day at a time. It's just, you know, it's not going to happen overnight. It's just, you got to come in and continue to build. Just having the discipline in your program and accountability in your program and developing some mental, physical, and competitive toughness, you know, within the program. It's those edges that that we're looking for. But I think we, you know, we do a nice job of we do a lot of Olympic movements. Everything's ground based for us. That's where it starts, and then we kind of build guys from just like you would a building. You know, everything's foundational. We build from the ground up. So Olympic lifting, some powerlifting disciplines, types of squatting, back, front, single leg, use of bands and chains. We got dynamic days built in there. Then all of our pressing movements, we have max effort days with boards and shoulder savers, and, to neutral grip benches, to speed work with bands, and then we do a ton of auxiliaries, just to what we call power bodybuilding, to box out frames. The staff's done a tremendous job through recruiting, giving us some bodies and length that we can right. develop. So I think the thing with us is we're kind of used to conjugate type system, and we're always rotating exercises. We're always changing our workouts in terms of movements, but we're still philosophy's the same. Ground-based, explosive, power movements that help our guys be explosive, powerful, fast, have a good burst of suddenness. So that's kind of who we are. We do basic periodization just like anybody. We're all training year round,
right?
So we're all having to, you know, do having to wave things and unload and deload and reload. So you know, just find the arc to that and where you're comfortable, understanding your team.
Sure.
Kind of progression there. So that's kind of what we've. And we want to be really good technically. That's something it's like, you know, it's kind of like coaching. Like sometimes we coach and say, well, we teach it one time and you're good. It's like a football coach. They're out there every day coaching and teaching and reteaching. And it's the same in the weight room. I mean, we just got to constantly keep hammering our technique, trying to clean things up. Because guys get lazy.
Sure.
You know, they're not, they don't power right. clean to them. Is, hey, it's just something I've got to do. For us, we love it.
That's right.
We want to be technically sound, be good coaches, and be good stewards of everything.
Yeah, I want to dig into that a little bit, Coach, because I mean, I think there's a lot of programs out there that are trying to bring energy, they're trying to, you know, they're trying to instill discipline, run a program competitive. Give me an example of where maybe your staff, maybe they didn't bring it that day, maybe they didn't come ready to go, and you had to set the tone. Or, you know, what are some things that you do with your staff to make sure that they know that that's your expectation when they come in? And then maybe what's one of the best examples of how you've created a competitive environment?
Yeah, I think it all starts with the head football coach. And we, right now, you know, in season, we're going to have a team meeting every day. And we're going to know exactly what's expected from each person in our organization as soon as we walk out of that meeting room back into the weight room. We know what the expectation is for Monday, what the expectation is for Tuesday, what the expectation is for game week. So there's, I'm his mouthpiece. Basically, I'm taking everything that he is instilling into me and to my staff, and we come down and we implement those principles. You know, we meet about once a week. We don't overkill it. We're, you know, there's only five of us, so we're constantly talking throughout the day. But, you know, once a week, we'll sit down and kind of go through some schedules and things that maybe we need to look at and work on. As you come out of the summer, you sit down and go through summer notes. What can we do better next summer? You look ahead to your in-season notes. What did we do good last year? What can we do better? Who's hurt? Who's redshirt? And those kind of things. You know, and then there's days that, you know, everybody's got to kind of be consistent. I think the consistency is what players look for. It's consistent effort. Each individual in our program is different in personality. The biggest thing is being consistent in your personality, who you are. Don't try to be somebody you're not. Don't go out and try to be this guy or that guy. You be the best you that you can be, and you'll be a great coach. But as soon as you try to start being somebody that you're not, we're not all here alone with that. So I brought in a staff of guys that are actually, philosophy-wise, we're all the same, but our personalities are a little different. Because I need Larry Green. I need Paul Hogan. I need Adam Smith. I need Drew Duffy. They're all different people. They bring something different to the table. They all have a job, and I let them do their job. Their unique personalities can reach certain guys that I'll never be able to reach. It's pretty cool.
I always talk about hiring, you know, what your weaknesses are. You know, that's what I try to do. I try to hire people that are different from me to be able to provide a great example to our athletes. Because they're not always going to relate to you. They're not always going to relate to me. And we need that. We have an obligation as coaches to be able to surround them with people that can help mentor them, not just in the weight room, the four walls of the weight room, but outside. And I know you do a fantastic job of that. What's one of those, you know, you talked earlier, we talked off camera a little bit about how you create, in season, you have a, you know, kind of a fun day, Friday, competition day with the red shirts. What's maybe one of those ways that you create that competition? Is there a specific example?
Yeah. Or something? You know, it's been doing it sometimes. So each year is really different. Some years we mainly just work, train, and don't do as much competition. And some years we'll divide up and, you know, kind of go, it's kind of the oldest forever new. You'll end up going back to some of the older things you used to do. But our red shirt players, what we call our power hour guys, that we meet with them 5 days a week on home games. They train every day, Monday through Friday. Away games, we train them Monday through Wednesday. So an example of a Friday, you know, we might have a guns, gut, and neck. You know, that's just kind of a thing that we would do, a fun and gun day, or we may go out and flip tractor tires and, you know, have a competition or a sled pull. It's through the years, we've done so many different things. So just trying to create a little bit of fun since they're not competing. And so that's things that we're kind of looking at even now. This next segment, things that we can do to create competition, posting stuff, letting them see, you know, who's doing what, and who's got the best reps, and who's got the best biceps, and who's big squad of the day. And then I meet with a what's called a Sweeney huddle. In the huddle meeting, I'll be able to give Coach McCorby some information on what's going on in the weight room. He presents it to Coach Sweeney, because Sweeney presents it to the staff. The staff kind of knows what's going on down here, and he may recognize guys in a team meeting for doing a great job in power hour in-season training. That's awesome.
Well, Coach, I know you're in middle training camp right now, so the schedule's tight, but we finished the show with some resources. What's the best piece of coaching advice you ever received?
Oh, man, I guess the best piece of coaching advice is just be yourself. Be who you are. We're all unique. We're all individually different. So, you know, just be who you are. You know, coach from your heart. You know, coach from your strength and your passions. Work on your weaknesses. Surround yourself with great men, good people. Because really, at the end of the day, you know, I can't do it without guys I have around me. It's impossible. You know, empower those guys to be owners and not just renters. You know, they have ownership in this thing. They have responsibilities. Coach Sweeney holds me. I hold them accountable for those responsibilities. You know, let them coach. Let them work. Let them prepare themselves. And one day, just like I had to do, you had to do, you know, we walked out of that room, and in a few hours, we're standing in the weight room looking around thinking, well, I'm the new guy. This is my program. And so you got all the things, you got all the tools, you got the background, you got the philosophy, you've been trained to right away just be able to start ground zero and get it up and running. And then you put your own touch on it to go. So
yeah, I couldn't agree with that more. What about do you have a book, app, or website recommendation for the guys that are listening?
You know, I kind of bounce around. I mean, I'm always digging into West Side stuff. It's kind of where I spend a lot of my time. And there's some speech school, DC, and some of that. I'll kind of dig around in some of those kind of places. But, that's kind of probably my top two. I'm always just kind of digging around, looking. You know, the one thing about it is so much information now. Sometimes you just kind of keep seeing the same things over and over, and you kind of all of a sudden, bam, something hits you. It's like, wow, right? So that's unique. We just need to add that. That would be a nice little supplement to what we're doing. The Forest Campus out. So I got some really good resources with a guy local. TNT over Joe Don Reams, his job, placing Anderson. He's always got some good insight. He's just right here in Lake Forest, so that's a good resource for us. We have a lot of high school kids, a lot of kids.
That's great, Coach. Well, I just want to acknowledge you for a second. I mean, I came here probably, 15 years ago, maybe 10 years ago.
Yeah.
And Coach is one of the nicest, most humble guys. And, you know, and the success that the program has had is, zero effect on you. And sometimes guys get caught up in that. And you were the same guy you were 10 years ago, 20 years ago, and then maybe as well. Just truly appreciate you coming on the show.
Yes, sir. Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Awesome. Yes, sir.
That's it for this episode of Iron Game Chalk Talk. Thanks to this week's guest, as well as our sponsors, for bringing this episode to you for free. Make sure to check out ronmckeefrey.com, where you can join our mailing list, find the show notes, including all the links and resources mentioned, and information about Coach McKeefrey's other products. While you are there, please join Coach McKeefrey in the comments section thanking our guest for sharing. If you haven't subscribed to Iron Game Chalk Talk on YouTube or iTunes yet, make sure to do so. Comments, ratings, and reviews are always welcome. Coach McKeefrey can be found on Twitter at @rmckeefrey. On Facebook and YouTube at @ron.mckeefrey. That's it for this week. Be sure to check back next week for another great episode of Iron Game Chalk Talk.